Today's teaching has been titled Twists and Turns, the Leadings of God, or what you saw on the poster, Mastering the Leadings of God. Praise the Lord. You know, like the title implies, twists and turns. Jeremiah speaking in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. I'm sure you saw that scripture on Sunday. It is not in a man that walketh to direct his steps. It's not in a man that liveth to direct his own steps. So, you see, the world we live in requires a lot of twists and turns. In our journey, there are a lot of twists and turns. But it is the leading of the Spirit that will see you through. Are you with me? You know, things are not the way we think they are. We said on Sunday that life is deeper than the obvious. Life is deeper than the obvious. And so, as a ministry, it's imperative that we teach things like this again and again and again. I know that for some of you who have followed New Breed for a while, maybe by now you should be tired of hearing teachings on the leading of the Spirit. But you see, we are still starting. We are still going to teach it. I'm going to teach it so much that if they wake you up from your sleep and say, tell us something about the leading of the Spirit, you will just start reciting. Are you with me? You just start reciting. It just come out from your mouth effortlessly. And to corroborate my point, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 12. The OGs in New Breed will know this verse. It says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in the remembrance of these things. I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Do ye know them and be established in the present truth. So even though you know them, the Apostle Peter is saying, I will not be negligent. It will be negligence on my part not to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them. And you have been established in the present truth. So he's talking to people who were already established in what he called the present truth. Yet he told them, I will not be negligent to always put you in remembrance. Tell your neighbor, I will always be in remembrance. I will always put you in remembrance of these things. Do you know them? And be established in the present truth. You see, we don't just come for services to waste our time. It is to perfect us in the faith. To get us stronger. You know, when preparing the Bible question and answer for yesterday, and I was looking at it. It was basically a commentary on 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 1 to 10. And I was like, when people see commentary on the Bible verse, they will be more interested if we are talking about Salah Rams and tattoos and all that. Then the Lord reminded me when he told me earlier this year, feed my sheep. We have a responsibility from God to feed the sheep of God. And so, as lead steward of New Breed, even if I'm not the one teaching today, your pastors would have still done a great job. We must feed the sheep. You must eat the word of God. Are you with me? Paul speaking in Acts chapter 20 verse 32, he said, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. He says, I commend you to God. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified, which is able to build you up. Can you say after me, build you up? The word of God will build me up. And it will give me an inheritance among the saints. And so, on Sunday, we established that divine leading is our inheritance in Christ. We established that. Please, if you have not listened to Sunday's teaching, listen to it. And I knew that, I'm aware that our pastors, we had a blast on Sunday in Port Harcourt in Lagos. And for our people in Abuja. Praise the Lord. Then we also talked about the fact that you should put more faith in God's ability to lead you than your ability to hear him. Praise the Lord. But now I want to add something else. I know they talked about it, but I want to add something else. We must also prepare to yield to God's leading. This is the preamble for divine leading. Preparation. Let me show you something. Proverbs chapter 16. Now, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, as your word is taught, there is direction. As your word is taught, your people are blessed. Your people are edified. Your people are built up. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 16 verse 1, it says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Let's go over that again. It says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Let me read it one more time. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So, he's trying to show you something. That if you're going to receive an answer from the Lord, there is a preparation that man must do. And must begin from your heart. Are you with me? It must begin from your heart. Before we talk about divine leading, you need to prepare your heart. That wherever he leads me, I will go. You need to prepare your heart to know that God and God's word only is my priority. It's a mindset to have. That the way of the Lord is my priority. Why should you be seeking his leading if you're not going to follow it? I'm going to follow his leading. I'm going to seek his leading and follow it. I've learned from so many experiences that eventually the way of the Lord is the best. Are you with me? See, after me, I will seek his leading and I will follow it. The leading of the Lord is priority in my life. Declare this one right now. The leading of God is priority in my life. Say it one more time. The leading of God is priority in my life. So this is the preamble, the preparation of the heart in man. Are you with me? You know, our popular verse, Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on thou not your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6. You know, thoughts just go through my mind. That was used to be a popular song in those days in church. All the children use it for what they call kingdom choreography dance. They wear white gloves on their hands. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on thou not your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. The second part of this song is in the second verse, verse 6. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's the problem. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Oh, so many things come to my mind. You know, when God was delivering Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah, the angel told Lot, flee to the mountains. But Lot said, no. I want to go to a small city there in Zoar. For God to tell you to flee to the mountains. Lot was explaining to the angel that no, the mountain is a wild place. I will die there. The angel said, flee to the mountains. He said, I want to go to the city called Zoar. He went to the city of Zoar. Oh my God. And eventually, he flew to the mountains. If you read the story, he saw some shege in Zoar and ran to the mountains. The very mountain the angel told him flee to initially. God's ways are higher than our ways. You must prepare your heart that I will follow his leading. I will not trust in my own understanding. Are you with me? You know, when Abraham and Lot were having the challenge that they were having, there was a misunderstanding between the servants of Abraham and the servants of Lot. You can see that story in Genesis chapter 13. And Abraham said, you know what? Lord, let it not be any issue between me and you. let's do it like this. You choose one side, Lot, and any side that you leave for me, I will take the remnant. The Bible says, Lot looked on the side of Sodom and Gomorrah. It looked green. And he went there. He chose it because it looked good. Something may look good, but not God. It may be good, but not God. And eventually, if you take the side of good and not God, it will show. It will show. Praise the Lord. Okay, look at this. Genesis 13 verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, it looked like a good place to be. But you see, Lot was following his own understanding. He did not know that the place that was looking good was marked for judgment in God's calendar. Ah. Except I will not lean on to my own understanding. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. So quickly, how does God really lead us? How does God lead? I want to put it to you, God leads us by the Holy Spirit. God leads us by the Holy Spirit. Please, is Abuja connected? Find out. God leads us by the Holy Spirit. God leads us by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God leads us in any and everything that concerns us. Yes. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8 verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, let me explain what the scripture is not. It's not saying that for you to be a son of God, you have to struggle to attain the level of being led. When you now attain that level, you now get the badge of the son of God. That's the wrong way to interpret the scriptures. Because in the Bible, we use scriptures to explain scriptures. Are you with me? That's not what it's trying to say. You know, I've seen people say, oh, there are different levels. There are the levels of the babies in Christ. Then there are the children in Christ. Then they are the sons. So, when you get born again, you are still a baby. Then you now mature to children. And then, when you now get to the level of sons, he now says, now you are ready for leading. That's not biblical theology. That's not the way the Bible interprets it. No. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 12, for as many as received him, to them he gave the power. To them he gave the rights. To them, he qualified to become the sons of God. John 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So when you believe, immediately you believe, you become a son of God. Are you with me? Immediately you believe, you become a son of God. Immediately you believe, you become a son of God. And now, let's look at Galatians 4 verse 6. So when you receive and believe in Jesus, he gives you the access. He gives you the right. He gives you the privilege to become the son of God. To become a son of God. Now see Galatians 4 verse 6. It says, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Glory! Now, if you put those two scriptures together, it says, in John chapter 1 from verse 12 and Galatians 4 verse 6, it says, but as many as received him. You know, it starts from verse 11. It says, he came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power. To them he gave the right. To them he gave the privilege. To them he gave the access to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. So if you believe on his name, you become a son of God. Then in Galatians 4 verse 6, and because you are sons. Do you see that? And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. So that's the Spirit that makes you look up to God as your Father. It brings up the cry.
the cry of the spirit that calls them to God as Father. The reason why God is your Father is because you are carrying His Spirit. The Spirit of His Son has come into you and has adopted you into the family of God. And so, because you have that Spirit, you will be led by that Spirit. That's why He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Because if you are a son, He sends for the Spirit into your heart and the Spirit begins to guide you. The Spirit begins to lead you. Are you following this? The Spirit begins to do what? To guide you. To lead you. And so, we have established that we are led by the Spirit of God. Now, the next question. Okay, I am led by the Spirit of God. How does the Spirit of God lead me? It is true, I am led by the Spirit of God. But how will the Spirit of God lead me? I'm going to list out some of the ways, but we can't finish in one day, so we'll start. That's why we titled it Twists and Turns. I don't just want to talk about the leading of the Spirit. We want to talk about mastering. Because there are many things. Oh my God. There are many things to talk about. There are many things to learn. You see, in every field of endeavor, in every field of training, there is what is called entry level. From entry level to intermediary, to expertise, to mastery. So as you keep on growing, you begin to learn more things, more things. To learn the diverse and manifold ways by which the Holy Spirit leads. So let's begin from the basics. How do we receive direction from the Holy Spirit? Number one, the written word. Say after me, the written word. Let me tell you, don't claim God is not speaking to you when your Bible is closed. Ah, a closed Bible, is a closed ear in the spirit. The written word. You know the popular verse in Psalm 119 verse 105, the popular verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The written word is the foundation for supernatural direction. The written word is the foundation for supernatural direction. The Holy Spirit leads us by the written word. First and foremost, He leads us by the written word. He leads us by the written word. Many people in search of the spectacular miss the supernatural. In search of the spectacular, they miss out on the supernatural word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. Thank you, Jesus. I believe by now you can tell that we are in for a serious teaching series, right? Now, the context of this teaching is blueprints. Don't forget. I know the month is almost ending, or the month has ended. Today is the last day of the month, right? But we are continuing. Especially because we are in the season of the move of the Spirit. As we journey towards our fifth anniversary. Kai, God, can you just shout glory wherever you are? God has been faithful to us in the last 5 years. And we are about to go higher. We are about to take a leap in the Spirit. And so, I think it's wisdom for us to go back to our very foundations. The Word of God. Let me tell you, the Word of God is the raw material for this work, for this ministry. The Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God. The revelation of the Word of God. 2 Peter 1 verse 16. It says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, what is Peter talking about here? What's Apostle Peter talking about? He's talking about the transfiguration experience that you see in Matthew 17. Let's stay here. It says, for He received from God honor and glory when they came to the voice to Him from the excellent glory.
This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, he says in verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Think about it. Imagine being with the Lord on a mountain. Imagine you went to pray on a mountain. And in the prayer meeting, Jesus walked up to you physically. And you touched him physically on the mountain. Are you with me? And then, while you were talking to Jesus and he was holding your hand, the heavens opened. And you heard the Lord speak from heaven. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. What will cross your mind? That encounter will be enshrined in your heart forever. And it was for Peter and the apostles. In fact, Peter told Jesus, you know what will happen? We're not going to leave this place again. We're going to build 3 tabernacles here. One for you, one for Peter, for Elijah, one for Moses. Because what happened actually was that Elijah and Moses appeared and they were talking to Jesus on that mountain. Peter was saying, we're going to build tabernacles for the 3 of you. Not knowing that he was going to be the tabernacle. Ah, yeah. And while they were talking with Jesus, Elijah and Moses faded into the background. Elijah represented the law. Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets. See, they were actually symbolizing that the law and the prophets have been fulfilled in Christ. Praise the Lord. He says, and this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Now, Peter has the audacity. Apostle Peter has the audacity and the temerity to make the next statement. He says in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Hey! What can be more sure than being with Jesus on the Holy Mount? What can be more sure than that? Let's find out. He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. What does this mean? He's saying that this more sure word of prophecy, you must take heed unto it. And when you do so, it will begin to shine like a light in a dark place. Oh my God. Remember where we are coming from. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? He's saying that when you pay attention to this more sure word of prophecy, the same way when you are locked up in a dark room and your phone touchlight suddenly comes on, that will be your sure guide. Are you following me? Maybe you are in a dark place and somebody puts on a candle or a small flicker of light comes on. See, that light is so precious to you. It may look small, but it's so precious because everywhere is dark. He's telling you that as a Christian, pay attention to this more sure word of prophecy because your heart may be dark. You may not know the answer. You may be confused. You may be at a point in your life where you don't even know where to turn to. You don't know where to go. You don't know which road to go. You don't know which step to take. He says, pay attention to it. Let's go back there. Praise the Lord. He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well as that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Until what happens? Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Meaning, you can pay attention to this more sure of prophecy that all the darkness will disappear. Light will take over your heart. He's showing you how people move from being confused to conviction. From confusion to conviction. Ah! When at the point you are like, should I? Should I not? Then at the point you know, I know this is what I should do. He says, you can pay attention to the word of God so much that the same way a light in a dark place grows and becomes a day star, like the morning dawn of the sun in a person's heart, it can happen to you. You can move from confusion to conviction by paying attention to the more sure word of prophecy. Now, what is the more sure word of prophecy? Let's go to the next verse. Let's go to the next verse. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. So the more sure word of prophecy is scripture. Ah! That means I may not have heard a voice yet. But if I pay attention to the scripture, a light will begin to shine in my heart, like a light in a dark place. In spite of all the confusion around, a light will begin to shine in my heart so much that if I keep paying attention to the scriptures, it can grow like a day star dawning in my heart, like the light of day. My conviction can grow to the point where by the scripture alone, light will shine in my heart. Then I will know completely and exactly without any shadow of doubt that this is what I ought to do. This is where I ought to go. This is where I ought to be. You know, when I first moved to Abuja, I was listening to a sermon and the man of God was talking about how he was reading a book by Kenneth Hagin, something in Christ's Realities. The great man of God, his name is Reverend Andy Osakwe. And he was reading the book. And right there as he was reading the book, he just knew. Are you with me? It's called Light in a Dark Place. They start rising in your heart. He says he just knew, I'm going to pastor a church. God wants me to start a church and this church will be in the city of Abuja. He knew. This was in the 90s. Aya kapala to kopa. Aya tapai. You can read, let me tell you something. This generation, we know they read Bible. Hey, God. This generation, content creation, content generation, always scrolling. There are some experiences I had years ago where I'll be reading my Bible. Some of you have experienced it before. Where I'm reading my Bible, it's as though something is rising in my heart. Or I'm in a service. Okay, you may have experienced this one more than the first one. I'm in a service. As the teaching is going, I can feel like something is rising. Has it happened before? Like, as the teaching is going on, I can feel like something is increasing. Something is increasing. It's called the increase of the word. Praise the Lord. Tell me, I will pay attention to the scripture. Open the Bible and read. Oh, pastor, what if the word I'm reading does not apply to my case? Just read. Oh, just read. Keep on reading. What is happening is that as you are reading, you are becoming acquainted with the message and the spirit of the message. Listen, this scripture we are talking about was breathed by the Holy Ghost too. Let's go to the next verse. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 20 to 21. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Then in verse 21, it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Ah! Let me tell you, you know, I was trying to get our Abuja church to wake up and rejoice to the word of God. And somebody was like, pastor is bringing this Port Harcourt vibes. It's not Port Harcourt vibes. If the word of God is in your spirit, you will respond. I'm telling you. The Bible says, when he spake unto me, the word of God entered unto me and set me upon my feet. Glory! There is a way you can read the Bible and something will jump from the Bible and enter you. There is a way you can hear the word of God and something will enter you. Say, aye! Ay, kapata. You know that you have received light. Like the way Bishop Edubo will talk, he said, and light entered into me. You know, generation, they can't remember the last time they were listening to a sermon and reading the Bible or reading a book, and light entered. When last did you listen to a sermon till light entered? The days of our fathers, Kenneth Hagin, they will tell you how they read. Kenneth Hagin will tell you that their sermons he listened to 50 times. Like, are you crazy? You know what is happening? He's putting it in the spirit. Except that the more sure word of prophecy is scripture. The more sure word of prophecy is scripture. The more sure word of prophecy is scripture. And I will pay attention to it until the light shines in my heart like a light in a dark place, unto the day star arise in my heart. Hey, unto the day star arise in my heart. Listen, guys, there is a way the word of God will enter into you. You say, I know I cannot be stopped. I know I cannot miss my way. Remember our song, there is one thing I know. If I listen to your voice, I will never be lost. I can never be lost. Glory! John 5 verse 46. John 5, let me show you something. John chapter 5. You're going to see something. Listen, if you're not reading your Bible, what should I do to you? What should I say to you? You know what? As I was preparing this message, the Lord gave me an assignment for every member of this church. Every member of New Breed, tonight, make sure you read from beginning to the end, Psalm 119. From the beginning to the end, assignment for everybody. From beginning to the end, Psalm 119, read the entire chapter of in the book of Psalms. That entire chapter. You will see the way David is talking about the word of God. You see where he said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you." Hey, you know what it means where the word of God has become chains to you. You want to do something, but the word of God is stronger. The word of God arrests you. John chapter 5. John 5 verse 46 to 47. This is Jesus speaking. He was having an altercation with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and there was some misunderstanding. And Jesus said unto them, he says, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." Aya kabala gabalande. He says, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." Then he goes to verse 47, and that's where I'm going to. Verse 47, he says, "But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Ah, my God. Jesus is by implication saying, the man who is not acquainted with the writings of the scripture will not be acquainted to my word. So even if Jesus spoke, if Jesus talked, that's why you realize that the Pharisees and Sadducees were hearing God speak audibly to them. Jesus was God in the flesh. God was talking to them every day. And they were still fighting it because according to him, if you don't believe the scriptures, you will not believe my words. If you don't embrace the scripture, even if God spoke to you audibly, it will be difficult for you to embrace it. And I'm going to show it to you shortly. 1 Samuel chapter 3 from verse 1. 1 Samuel 3 verse 1. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 12 from verse 4 from verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." See, I read this verse until it entered. I'm memorizing it because it's inside me. Then he says in verse 13, he says, "Neither is there anything that is hid in his sight." He called the word of God a human being. He's using the same expression for a person for the word of God. He says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight." Is the word of God is talking about? It is the word of God is calling his. That means the word of God is a person. Are you hearing me? When you embrace the word of God, you will know the person of God. Remember, in the beginning was the word, and the word was the God, and the word was God. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." So if you open yourself to the scripture will open itself to you. It will enter every area of your life. Gradually, your spirit man will be acquainted to know. And that's what's taking me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Because when the word of God is revealed to your spirit man, you are not ready for the leadings of God in terms of his spoken and other superlative ways he speaks. Many people are looking for that dramatic way, but they have not learned the primary way. The written word. 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3 from verse 1. The Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." Ah, yeah. That's a sermon of his own. You know, if you want to be a man that you are being guided by God consistently, there's an atmosphere that you need to create. So I don't need to tell you about the atmosphere of prayer. We'll get to it, but you can see. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." What does it mean? It says in that time, the word of the Lord was cast because people were not even seeing visions. That's part of our teaching, but we'll get there. The graphics of God, visions, trances. That's why I've said this time around, I must finish this series, this thing on the leading of God, because there is no way you are going to fulfill the blueprint, God's plan for your life, if you don't understand these things. There are some times in God's plan where God has to take you off your normal course, because he knows, and you may not know, that if you keep on going that direction, you will not fulfill the plan. You keep on going and wondering, this is not what I saw. Are you with me? So you must learn how to follow the leadings of God. He says, and the child ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was cast in those days. It was cast. There was no open vision. Then in verse 2, and it came to pass at that time that Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. Eli was growing old. The prophet was growing old. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Verse 4. Let's read verse 3 to verse 4 again, please. It says, and there the lamp of God went out to the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Verse 4. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. Verse 5. Now, did Samuel answer? Yes. But the problem was, Samuel was answering as though he was answering Eli, not God. And so God could not continue. You see, a time will come when you have learned to discern the presence of God, where God can speak to you in the wind, where your friends can be talking, they can be gisting, but you can hear God's voice and know that it was not Eli, but God. Are you with me? Like, for instance, I remember the day when my mom walked to me and said, if the Lord is leading to go to Abuja, please go to Abuja. Because I'm feeling like that's where you're supposed to be. Now, I did not say my mom spoke to me, because just few minutes before that time, I was just like, oh God, oh God, oh God, this thing. I know you've shown me so many visions. You've shown me so many directions. You've shown me so many things, but must I go? Must I go? Then in 5 minutes' time, she walks up to me and says the same thing. Then the next day, she walks up to me and says, I don't like the way I'm feeling. You see what's happening here. And he ran to Eli. I think that's good. Verse 5. And he ran to Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Verse 6. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel! And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not. My son, lie down again. You know, when we get to the place when I talk about confirmations, God usually will use voices that you are already familiar with to confirm his word to you. Not always strangers. Okay, I'm going too far with myself. Why was God sounding like Eli? Because Eli was the strongest authority in Samuel's life. You want to make a major decision in your life. Have you prayed about it? Your pastors, have you engaged them? You bring somebody to marry, everybody's like, I know there are people who have abused this kind of thing. That's why we need to teach you many others. The problem in the body of Christ is that most times, people don't learn the whole counsel of God on a subject. They take one and leave one, take one and leave that. So there are places where the man of God or your pastor is supposed to help you out, but there are churches that is only the pastor that decides everything. It's not true. Are you with me? You need your own part. It's a combination of your part and the pastor's part, not one alone. Are you with me? Let's go on. Verse 6. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not. My son, lie down again. Verse 7. Everybody, Read verse 7 with a very loud voice. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Why? Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So even though Samuel was in the temple and was ministering to God, as long as the word of God was not revealed to Samuel, God's conclusion was that he does not know. He does not know me. Even though Samuel was in the temple of the Lord and ministering before Eli, if the word of God was not revealed to Samuel, Samuel does not yet know the Lord. Hey! Now, it was because he did not know the Lord, because the word of the Lord was not revealed unto him, that was why it was difficult for him to perceive God's voice. Praise the Lord. Go back. It says, now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Now, this is not just talking about memorizing scriptures. There is something called the revelation of the word of God in your spirit. When you read the Bible and read the Bible and read the Bible, then the Bible begins to read you. Are you with me? The Bible begins to read you. Suddenly you begin to say, oh, I saw this verse. It's like, say this thing is beginning to connect to this thing. Is this what was said in the Old Testament that I'm now seeing in the New Testament? You know what's happening? Your spirit man is opening to the glory of the word of God. You are beginning to know the Lord. Now, you have gone beyond just reading and memorization to the point of revelation. Then you read the Bible and it's as though scales are falling off your eyes. He says, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. I pray for you. Hey, beginning from now, you step into a greater revelation of the word of God. 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 Sometimes it happens when you are in church. They are teaching and teaching. And after a while, you discover that we have gotten so many testimonies that people said, I was coming to this church and it's as if my understanding of the word of God just opened up. It's as if when I open the Bible now, my spirit man is just eating the word of God because of the kind of diet you are following. The revelation of the word. It says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. But guess what? See verse 8. The old man knew. Hiya. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. He looked at it. Now, God did not speak to Eli. But Eli, by listening to the boy talk, said, I can perceive the sound of God around this boy. I can perceive the sound of God. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Then in verse 9, Eli taught him something. And therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord. Remember, preparation, when we started talking about today's service, that you must prepare your heart for leading, right? He says, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. The prophet knew. The old man knew. He knew the way the Lord moves. The Lord is looking for willing hearts, willing minds, willing souls, willing spirits. He says, when you hear that voice again, do you know what you do, boy? He says, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Can you say after me, speak, Lord? For your son hear it. For your daughter hear it. For your servants hear it. Speak, Lord. Some of you close your eyes and say after me, speak, Lord! For your servants hear it. Speak, Lord. Mata kapalate. Speak, Lord. And in verse 10, such an interesting story. In verse 10, and the Lord came and stood. I like the way the Bible rendered it. That means Samuel was not just hearing a voice from heaven. The Lord was there physically, but it was invisible. And the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. I remember one time in July 2016, I was preaching in Lagos. I preached and got to a point, I hit a man. I turned, there was nobody there. I went there again. I felt a presence. And without any vocal communication, I knew that I was just told, stop your teaching and start praying for the sick. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hear it. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody jump to verse 19. Ah, this is the testimony of a track record with God. We see verse 19. The Bible says, and Samuel grew. Ah, and David Ogenerobo grew. Can you put your name there? Hey, and David Ogenerobo grew, and the Lord was with him. Ah, yeah. I'm growing, and the Lord is with me. Oh, yes, I know today is the end of July 2024. As I step into August, I am growing. And the Lord is with me. Hey! And did let none of his words fall to the ground. Ah! That means every prophecy that came from somewhere they were established. I pray over you. Every prophecy you receive that God has had over your life, it comes to pass. It comes to pass. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. None of them fell to the ground. None of them. None of them. Aye. The Bible says in verse 20, and all Israel from Dan even unto to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Aye. Hey, God. Let me tell you, a time will come. The entire nations of the world will know that God sent us with a word from him. In the name of Jesus. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Where did it begin from? The word of the Lord was revealed to him. That's where it began from. Then, speak, Lord, for thy servant hear it. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Maybe you are looking at yourself small right now. Maybe you look confused. Your mind is like, where will I go from here? How will my life be like? You look like your life is scattered. But if you can only say, speak, Lord, and pay attention to his word, a time will come, everyone around you will see that the word of the Lord has come to pass in your life. Amen. Now, everybody read verse 21. Verse 21. The Bible says, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. How? For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Oh, I'm looking for God. I'm hungry for God. Dust the Bible. As we're entering August, we are going to dust the Bible and say, Lord, we are ready for business now. Are you with me? We're ready for business. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Are you confused? Open the Bible. Start reading. Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't understand? Keep reading. The Lord will appear to me. As I mean, the Lord appears to me by his word. Glory! Look at that. So can you see this? That by the time you embrace the word of God, strange things begin to happen. Yes. Oh, yes. Akataka balaga balaga suka palia. Krundogobo shike teke minimo. Fradika pako sapatai. A new season has begun. A new time has come. The glory of my word has come. For I've said before there an open door. A door that no man can shut. Grow in my word. Glide in my word. Go deeper. Read it every day. Soak in it. My glory will overwhelm you, O house of New Breed. My glory will overwhelm you, O house of New Breed. It shall break out in signs and wonders. It shall break out in signs and wonders. My light shall break out from your tabernacle. In the name of Jesus. Higher. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the